So la, Tito,
how are things? Yes, la. I'm just very zen today.
Really?
I finally did the loads of laundry in my bathtub, and they finally dried, and I have them all folded around my bed, and I decided that they looked very comfortable. I took a nap on them. And so now I'm like, I love the sunbeams coming into the window as I lay my giant body across my folded laundry, and I feel pretty good, La.
Well, good, La. You know, I've wondered often if we ever had any money and if we had working plumbing and stable electricity, would we buy a washing machine or a dryer? I mean, of course, we can have both because that's what the quality has.
I don't trust. In fact, every time I see one, I get really angry. The ones that wash and dry it for you. How long before that breaks?
Oh, that's creepy, isn't it?
Right? Isn't it creepy? I don't trust it. It's like going to church and like, I don't know how it's going. Like going to church and like you pray,
yeah,
rinse and repeat all in one seat. No kneeling and standing and no listening to the priest. You just I think it's too much of a shortcut. Let's start the show, La.
Okay, let's start the show. I was going to tell you about my strange dream, but I'll tell you later.
Oh, well, you can tell me. Tell me during the show.
All right. So welcome, everybody, to episode 9 of season 2 of the Half Alive podcast.
We are the Law and Law Brothers. My name is Law.
And my name is Law.
We are 60-year-old twins with more than a few career, financial, mental health, and size challenges.
And our podcast is for people like us, people in the arts who tried and failed to make a living doing what we love. My brother as an actor in Los Angeles and me as a writer in NYC.
Now we live in a ramshackle old house in Schenectady, New York, chronically on the brink of financial ruin, but somehow we're still making our art.
And that's what we encourage you to do. Keep making your art no matter how many walls crumble around you.
Yes, and our walls are certainly crumbling.
I know.
And if I wasn't in a zen mood, I'd say we better take care of a few things before winter sets in, La. But how do we do it? We don't got the money, we don't got the tools, and we don't have the know-how.
That's true, and I don't really like going outside, so.
I mean, the house was probably built in the 20s when Schenectady was like roaring with ingenuity and possibility. So I think there's a lot of the bones of this house.
The bones are good.
Probably pretty solid.
Yeah.
So I think we could keep it up till we die, as long as we don't mind drafts.
You know, the plaster is the issue. They don't use plaster anymore, of course. And I'm just worried one of those ceilings is going to come down one of these days.
Well, we better get that middle apartment rented.
That's true. Oh, we didn't ever hear from Army Hammer, did we?
No. I mean, I talked to his people, went back and forth for hours, but
nothing.
Couldn't get him to move to downtown Schenectady in the worst neighborhood in the area.
Well, he would have had a lot of anonymity here.
I know. I said, baby, where else are you going to go? Baby, the town's forgotten you. At least here you get a chance to regroup. You know, baby, you know what I mean? Baby.
You know, if Army Hammer had moved in our middle apartment, do you think I would have been, I mean, I hate to, you know how creepy it is when people put cameras up, you know, just so they can spy on other people and see them naked and stuff, but he is so hot. Do you think we would have been become like that, dirty, dirty people?
Like him?
No, like us. Like we'd become.
Something about his name reminds me of hot dogs.
Really?
And Army Hammer, like Army.
Armor hot dogs.
Yeah. Huh. So I don't know. I don't know. I guess. I mean, I did plan on putting a sun tanning station right under my window. Excuse me, Armor. Would you like a spritz?
My name's not Armor.
We don't want you to bind.
Would you like some baby oil?
I think it's completely politically wrong that we are lusting after a tenant like him.
I know, a tenant.
that we could get, period.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with it? I would not have put a camera up. I'm not that kind of dirty perv, but I'm just thinking, would I have, been silly and girly around him and, giggling and flirtatious to the point that he moved out.
Do you remember when we were little, Mrs. Chipolensky from like six houses down,
yes,
for some reason thought we were trying to look up her dress?
Yeah.
And she came banging on our door.
Oh my
Dad
God.
Just laughed at her. Goes, those two? They're not interested in what's up your dress.
They want to be wearing the dresses.
What the hell possessed her anyway? How did that even happen?
I don't know. It was scary too, because it was like we thought something was wrong, and then of all things to accuse the two little homo boys of, a big fat dress.
I mean,
like looking
point,
up an umbrella.
Right. I mean, Dad was our savior and also our bully at that with that one word.
That's true.
Those two.
Oh, could you imagine if Grandma had answered the door?
Oh, I don't know.
Beating the hides off of him.
Well, I guess she probably would. What's
dirty
the difference?
Boy.
And her hides beaten off from her every day anyway.
That's true. Just another day in paradise of our childhood.
I'm going to sneeze, La. Get ready to bless me.
Okay. Chizuts.
Grazie, grazie. So what's our theme for today? Do we have an interviewee yet? Did you find anybody that's going to join us?
We have another cancellation.
What?
Actually, well, now this time the person I had lined up died.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
You just didn't do the work, La.
No, I did the work, La, and
I can't do everything for this
started...
whole podcast.
That's true. I wouldn't want you to work yourself too hard, La. No more veins in your forehead. I had it all set up with him, and then all of a sudden he disappeared on me. I just assumed he was ghosting me like the last guy and didn't want to do it, and I couldn't. There was absolutely wouldn't return emails or texts or phone calls or anything like that. And then just by chance, I decided to check the Gazette online, the obituaries, which I check every day anyway, and there he was.
Oh, my goodness. You're serious.
Yeah, they didn't say what. They said, died at home.
Ooh, remember that, folks. All you have to do is agree to be a guest on our show.
I know. We're like Assisted Suicide Central.
That's our niche.
Oh, La, we could make some serious money.
Yeah. Hey, listeners, you got an old artist in your family that's ready to die and you're tired of having them leech all your money? Schedule a guest on our show.
And he'll probably die naturally of natural causes.
Well, and if not, we have a smothering service.
That's extra.
We will come to your house with an extra large pillow.
Well, the thing is, well, he was not that old. He was only 52. So,
oh, well, that's sad. What did he do?
He was a local singer, and he made his living as a singer in the greater Albany area. He traveled sometimes, gigs, most artists do who are performers, but he said, I'm a singer, that's what I want to do with my life, and I never wanted to do anything else, and I don't want to go to work or anything like that, so I thought he was perfect for this podcast until he died.
Oh, did he have like a wedding band or something, or?
No, actually, now that you mention it. I think probably he did everything he could to survive, so a wedding band wouldn't be out of the question, right?
I think it would be out of the question for us.
Yeah, because we don't
We
play.
Should consider that, though. Because they make money, I mean, they would work. Everybody, I guess if you're a locally known wedding singer, you probably work all the time.
I brought that French horn last season. Remember, you were so mad at me.
That's right, and you still got your rhythm?
I still got my rhythm. I could still play that.
Yeah, I have no rhythm, and I can't remember lyrics, but I can sing a little.
You can sing. You've got a beautiful voice. And you used to be able to play the keyboard before Grandma brought the piano lid down in your hands.
What we call ourselves? Well, the Law Brothers.
Yeah.
La, we could go do the gigs, and while we're there, we could pimp the podcast.
Well, that's a great idea, La. But you know what? That does mean we have to wear nice clothes, and, we have to get up in front of people.
That's true.
Well, you can do it. You're the actor.
Triple X tuxedos. Do they have like pullover tuxedos that are stretch material?
Can we just wear those T-shirts where that looks like a tuxedo?
That could be our thing.
Yeah, ironic, right?
Oh la. Well, I suppose the best homage we can do is to we can pay this guy is just to carry on. What's the theme now?
Did you say homage?
Yes, like give him a little. What am I trying to say? Homage, you know, give him a little, like a tribute to him.
I believe it's called homage la, not homage.
You're in America. You speak American. What is it?
I think it's
no
homage.
Wonder I never got those auditions. Homage. Well, at least give me credit for at least knowing what it means.
That's true. But I remember that time casting call, you were auditioning for something, and you thought that homage was somebody's name. Hey, homage!
I do. I think at the same time I was reading something really fast, and I said, "Oh, the photography is a very." Then I had a tantrum from not letting them. They wouldn't let me do it again.
I know the difference. I was reading fast. Oh my god! I just got this when I was outside. Everyone else, this is the second audition. This is my first audition for this thing, and it's not fair that you people fail these things. He expected us to be brilliant the first time.
See, La, this is what I admire about you, though, is that when you fuck up, you get enraged, and you take it out on the people around you, whether they did anything or not. And when I, you know, am humiliated, I just slink out like, you know, a 300-pound snail.
But, La, that's how I feel afterwards when I come back and I try to apologize and they won't have me. Because it must have something to do with our childhood. It's like immediately fight when you're threatened. Yeah, immediately frightened and take it out on everybody. But the thing is, I do realize like 5 minutes later that I was the idiot. And I do take responsibility. But by then it's too late because I've said just the most awful things you can think of.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not like we learned we had good role models. I mean, who were our role models when we were growing up?
Well, I like the people that made the springs and the cars, because when Dad got those cars a rocking with those women he cheated on, you know, that was some good quality stuff. The cars didn't hit the ground.
That's true. But do you remember how, like, once we were old enough, like we were teenagers and we were old enough to realize what he was doing in them, we absolutely refused to get in those cars and any car that he owned? Because I'm like,
I mean, he smelled bad, period, always. And then you put that in, you know, when the smell of lovemaking.
Can you imagine horrid. If we had a black light back then and just run it across
those
feet?
Oh, that's disgusting. Because we say this house is crumbling and we make fun of our physical appearance. But what are we? We are very clean. We're clean
people.
We are
clean pair of boys.
Yep. Grandma used to say, we ain't no dirty.
No, we're not dirty
people.
We
ain't no dirty family.
Even though we don't have a washing machine, we have a tub, and we keep our clothes clean, we change our undies, and we wash our bodies the best we can.
You know what I tried to do one time, Lon? It seemed to work.
What?
I threw all the dirty clothes in the tub, filled it up with hot water and soap, and I jumped in with it, and I kicked around and squashed and... I played like a little seal in the ocean.
Washing machine.
Yes. And I have to say, so I get out and I thought, well, wait a minute. That wasn't very good because all my dirty funk. So I had to redo them. But it seemed like a good idea at the time.
I know.
You know, I think I was 57 years old when I did that. And which goes back to, what do we say in the beginning here? We're 60-year-old twins with more than a few career, financial, mental health, and size challenges.
Yeah.
That proves it.
Well, you're not getting... Imagine a 57-year-old man sloshing around the bathroom with his clothes.
Or taking a nap on top of them today. It was so peaceful.
Youth is wasted on the young.
I guess I felt so good today, La. I don't know what it is. Like, we have no money. We don't know what we're going to do for food in the upcoming weeks. And yet I felt so good today.
You know, it's funny. I've been feeling good, too. And I think it was because I actually got a little exercise. I was going up and down those stairs a few times. And I think I might have, you know, the endorphins might have kicked in. I mean, I did take a nap after that, but still.
Oh, La.
Exercise is exercise.
Yeah, if we keep feeling good, there'll be no stopping us.
That's true. We'll go places, sister.
La, This is the first time we ever teamed up to do anything together. I went out there by myself. You went out in the world by yourself. But now we're a team, La.
Why didn't I go out with you to L.A., La, and become your manager? I could have pretended to be somebody big, important.
Well, why didn't I go to New York with you, La, and pretend to be your manager and kick those people into shape?
Why didn't we break those glass ceilings for each other, La?
That's right. I mean, Gloversville may be a small town, but murder is murder. My brother cares about his fellow Gloversonians.
Well, except they were not from Gloversville, so.
I know, but they don't have to know that. You were too honest. You don't know anything about publicity.
You could have done the publicity for me and claimed that I was a local. Yes. Who would have known, right?
Right.
Anyways, people who are listening are wondering about that illusion. My book that came out years ago when I was living in New York City was about famous murders in Gloversville, New York, because there were so many bizarre ones. And it sold 5,000 copies, and I was very excited at the time. And I think if my brother La had been my manager, I would have sold at least 10.
And I probably would not have been thrown off the Love Boat set if my brother was the manager.
You should not. You remember Julie, and she had a cocaine problem, and you kept making these jokes, you know, while the film was rolling.
I do, La. Why do you think I was thrown off the set? I was, it's just because I'm not a regular. If I was a regular, I'd be able to make jokes. I'm just trying to be one of you people. One of you people. And then somebody said, you people? What do you mean by you people? I mean you people, like working actors and me, an aspiring working actor. Jesus, you've all been in my shoes before. What's wrong with you? And goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Law.
Go snort a line of coke, Julie. This is actually a good day for someone to ditch us and by way of dying, because we have a ton of email responses to our last podcast, our last episode. Remember, you asked people to write in and tell us their experiences with getting rejected for non-paying gigs? And to offer some philosophy with each about each.
I do. We have a ton of emails. Really good. That means somebody out there is listening to us. See, with the Law Brothers as a team, there's no stopping us.
Exactly. Well, when you think about it, there's all kinds of stuff that you should audition for, right? And all kinds of writing, things that you write, plays and stuff that you send into contests and, you know, trying to get an agent and all that stuff, and it's always most of them are unpaid, right? And like the stuff that I've written, the short stories and things like that, the plays, I can't stand when I get a rejection. I think, why wasn't even going to get paid for this in the first place? So it's going to be publication.
I know. Wow. The ad says submissions free. We want to hear from everyone. Everyone's work is valuable.
Yeah, and we talked about how, you know, like you had auditioned for parts both here and when you were in L.A. that were non-paying to sort of build your resume. But it's, all the more humiliating to get rejected when it wasn't even a giant career move. But we also determined that we, you know, just keep plowing forward, that that's just the way it is. But anyways, we have listeners who either beg to differ or had just absolutely bizarre circumstances, bizarre stories to tell us.
Oh, well, let's hear them.
Well, the one listener was replaced opening day. She was the lead in Hello, Dolly, and you can imagine how much work that was. And it was going to be at Tessie's Oyster Shack in Troy, and she got replaced opening day. I mean, like they were going to open that night.
That's big drama.
Well, and she wasn't even getting paid for it. I mean, she put all this time and energy and, you know, effort and learning the stories, you know, listen to the stories, the lines and the songs.
Did they give her a reason why?
Apparently she...
Which is going in a different direction.
Yes, yes.
On opening night.
There must have been something. I mean, these letters, these responses are one-sided because they're only from the person who wrote them, but... who knows?
You just don't look like a dolly. We've been sitting here discussing this for the 6-week rehearsal period. We finally decided you just don't look like a dolly.
What on earth were they thinking? Who were they going to plug in there? Get a, you know, like a, an urchin off the street? Were they?
I'm surprised she wrote it to tell us this. This is horrid. And it's not like Broadway. And they replaced her. Well, Tessie's Oyster Shack.
It's close. Tessie's Oyster Shack, I mean, in Troy.
Did I ever tell you
next
that I was
Broadway?
I was one of the dancers in a production of Hello Dolly once.
You were?
Yes, but I couldn't remember dance. That. I couldn't. It was 100 years ago, and I couldn't dance. And I said that I could dance, but I was funny enough. They thought, well, we'll just let him do what he can, and we'll try to have him do the same thing twice, because I was one of the waiters. I don't know if you know that
yep.
scene where they, you know, the waiters come out and do this fantastic dance, and they just had me hold a tray and squat and stand and squat and stand and squat and stand. I was going to die. But I did it, and they didn't replace me. So she must have no redeeming quality. She must not have been funny. I'm sorry, lady. But why did they cast you in the first place? I'm
exactly.
going to have a tantrum for you.
Exactly.
Why did they put you through that?
And it's not like, you know, these community theaters that they have understudies, right? Nobody's going to spend that kind of time being an understudy for no money.
We're going to have the cook take over tonight. You can go home. Actually, no, take his place in the kitchen.
Come on, Dolly.
But I've never cooked before. Well, he's never acted before.
So you're even.
But he fits the costume, he's in, you're out.
But he's a man.
Don't matter. This is 2024. You know, right now, kids are going to school. A boy and coming home, a girl.
That's
so we can
true.
Do the same thing with this part.
You know, I wonder.
Hello, hello, Dolly is now. Hello, Frankie. Hello, Frankie. Hey, hello.
Hello, Donnie.
Donnie. It's hello, Donnie. That's better. And now playing hello, Donnie is Marie Osmond. Poor
perfect.
Donnie. My sister took over my part on opening night. And it's called Hello Donnie, not Hello Marie. Oh, this business.
Oh, La, I tell you. I don't know. I've brainstormed a little bit about what she could have done wrong. She may not have, let's just say, she may not have known her lines properly. She may have been, like, snacking too much in the Oyster Shack kitchen when nobody's looking. I don't know.
Excuse me, I can no longer fit into these costumes.
And I was also...
if anything, Tessie's is may not be known for its theater, but it's known for its good food. And my dressing room was right next to the walk-in cooler, you bastards.
I just
what the hell was I supposed to do?
You know, I emigrated here from Ireland, from the old country.
Ephraim? Ephraim? Do you like BBWs? No. That's why you're not in.
Oh,
please
la,
stop
la.
Me, la. I was feeling so zen, and these conversations are getting me all upset today.
Well, let's try to be philosophical, because we have to find out. She didn't actually have any upside to this. Like, what's the...
There isn't. I feel bad for her. So we you have
philosophy?
Our symphonies. Our symphonies. Our sympathies, lady.
You have our symphonies. Too bad.
And our homage.
Our homage. Another guy wrote in, and he had cast and apparently paid some of his own money for O Calcutta. They had rehearsed for 2 solid months, and they got raided by the police on their tech run.
Because O Calcutta is a nudie play.
It is a nudie play, I think. I've never seen it. I wasn't allowed in because inappropriate.
Well, that's not the
comment.
Same, though. That's not the same as, I mean, that nobody in the production screwed them over. It was the police.
Well,
ethics codes.
That's true. But, I mean, can you imagine how you would feel if, like, you were down some money and nobody was getting paid and then, like, nothing's going on and then you get fined on top of it?
Oh, my God. It's very hard to be an artist, isn't it?
I guess it is. Okay. Huh.
But people keep it trying.
They keep trying. I mean, it's, I mean, that's very unlikely to happen again, but still. And this, and I don't know, this might have been like the early 70s this happened. They didn't say, but still.
I had a friend who wasn't a friend, but it was somebody I knew as an actor, like just by name.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe passed him a couple times in a class we used to take. And he was cast in O Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the front row. Because I had the hots for him. And I pretended I was like his best friend afterwards. And he saw right through me. And I was totally embarrassed. And I never went back.
You never went back to what?
I never went back after the third performance when I was pretending I was his best friend. And he was very cool to me.
You went to three performances?
Yes. He was so handsome.
Oh, dear.
Why? Who's that? The fat guy in the front row again? Will you tell him to keep his clothes on? He's not in the show. And I have a lot of body shame. And I must have really had the hots for him to take my clothes off in a public theater. That didn't happen. I'm lying.
I know you didn't take your clothes off, but I think when he did, took his off, he probably clapped a little too loud. Bravo.
Who keeps gasping in the audience? That's all right. I trolled him. He went nowhere.
Well, nobody ever does. If we don't, nobody does.
La, perhaps I could get him. No, maybe I better leave that stone unturned. I was going to say, maybe I could get him as a guest.
Well, you never know. He may have totally forgotten you existed, right?
Remember? No, I don't want. I don't want to turn that stone over.
And then we have a singer who didn't get paid for her gig after she beat a drunken heckler to death with her didgeridoo. We know that one.
That's our friend.
Yes,
the best guest ever on the Law Brothers podcast.
Half Alive.
Half Alive, which we should give out the email.
That's right. Half Write Alive to us podcast.
Let's say it together, but slightly off so that nobody can understand. Try it. Start.
Half Alive.
Half podcast. Alive.
Half Alive podcast.
Podcast Half Alive. Anthony. Oh, Grandma's here. Say it. You say it better than me. Shut up.
It's halfalivepodcast@gmail.com. Halfalivepodcast@gmail.com. Remember to leave reviews.
Halfalivepodcast@gmail.com.
And to subscribe. And write to us.
Please write to us. Pick up our day.
We
need
love
the
you.
Help.
We love you.
We need
you.
The support. We won't forget you. I'll be in the... If you do nudie play, I will be in the front row every night.
Well, I'm a little scorched about this one, actually, because, you know, Clementine Roach was our interviewee a few episodes ago. We loved her. And, you know, the fact is the guy was drunk, the heckler was drunk, and she did not beat him to death intentionally. She did wind up killing him with the didgeridoo. But, you know, there's no reason why she shouldn't have gotten paid afterward, right? She had legal fees and stuff. But she did the performance.
That's true. Can you imagine? I think we should encourage her to do a lawsuit now, so many years later. I want my $42.
Exactly. I mean, it's not like they were paying her a fortune. Where was she, in like Lake Placid or something? Or
oh my God, that's like suing somebody hits your dog with their car and they sue you for damage.
No, he heckled her. She thought she was in danger. She thought she was.
Well, your dog was off leash in the road.
Well,
I don't know. Just move on.
All right. Let's see. There was a writer who used a hybrid publisher. I have to look that one up for his novel. Oh, I know what it is.
What's a hybrid publisher?
I think it's like you pay them like $3,000 or $4,000 or something, and then they do all the work with your book. They lay it out and they send it to reviewers and stuff like that. So anyway,
so it's not like half ape, half man hybrid.
So anyways, the company, this writer paid out the money, the company disappears, and not only, of course, does the book not make any money, doesn't sell, but the writer had to pay the printers, who were not part of the publishing deal. They had to pay the printer for each copy that was actually published, that actually got printed, so they... You know, he wound up in the hole pretty much. And you know, that's so discouraging. You can't, you know, he doesn't have an agent, he doesn't have a regular publisher, and now he's in debt and has no product.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a lot. Maybe we should make this the... Have you been wronged in the arts?
We could be lawyers.
Come to the Law Brothers.
How do you become a lawyer, Law? What kind of credentials do you need?
I don't think you have to. You just have to pass the bar exam, right?
I think so. I mean, can you do it online?
You have to go to school, do you?
I don't like leaving the house. Can I do it online?
Is it multiple choice? Because sooner or later.
I hope so.
I don't know. Well, that could be our... We could right the wrongs.
I think we could.
People in the arts who were abused by the man.
Can you imagine if we went to Albany Law and asked if we could become a lawyer?
And I'd also like to become an orthopedic surgeon.
Well, where did you graduate from college? College?
No, but I want to play college. We didn't even get our GED.
Honey, we don't even have a high school diploma. What are you on about?
I think, was it 10th grade we left? I don't remember.
No, it was senior year. We just didn't have enough gym credits, remember?
That's right. Imagine us not having enough gym credits. Because gym was always such a safe place for us.
I know, right?
Oh, I love gym. I love when we had to all get in line and climb that rope.
Yeah.
Everyone knew we couldn't climb the rope, but we still had to wait in line to try publicly and fail in front of everyone.
Humiliating. Oh, my God. And do you remember the... they wouldn't let us on the trampoline. Everybody used the trampoline. It looked like so much fun. And
you do.
They were concerned that we were going to break it. And
yep, I do.
The worst one ever was when we were in high school, and they had that stupid archery module that we took. We thought it'd be easy, and like people were shooting their friggin' arrows at us.
Yep. I remember La, and I remember Mr. Thomas saw them shooting the arrows at us, and he did not say a word. He laughed.
No, he was having a very good time, enjoying himself. I hope he's listening to this right now. In hell.
We tried to have Dad and Mom come in to talk to talk to them about our performance, but they just agreed. They didn't even come in. They said, yeah, we know. We do our best we can, but we wash our hands of them.
Can you imagine our parents going in to like open house or parents' night?
But our mom had a few redeeming qualities, the only one in our family, and she didn't even stick up for us in this instance.
Oh, no. But, you know, she was terrified of leaving the house, so it's not like
that's
she
true.
Was, you know, it wasn't like she was going to go out. And
so we were on our own, La.
Always been on our own. Always had each other, at least. So this last one I think you're going to be able to relate to. A local actor, somebody who lives right here in Albany, had to pay his own way to Atlanta because he was in an independent film, and he needed to find his own place to stay for 4 weeks, and then all of his scenes were cut from the final edit. He didn't make a dime, didn't get paid, he had to pay for his own way, and then it wasn't even in the frickin' film.
That's awful. I mean, that's happened to me a lot, but it was always paid jobs. I can't imagine if I paid. Aw, that poor guy. And that may not be anything to have to do with his fault. They just may have decided not to use his footage. But the decency. Oh, wow. How did he find out? Did he find out that his scenes were cut?
Yeah, he was at the Montreal Film Fest, and, you know, he was there thinking he was going to, you know, see his work. And like he said, he should have figured it out because nobody was like paying attention to him and they're trying to avoid him. And then he watches the whole film and he's not even in it. So, what are you going to do?
Oh, well, that's very sad. I'm sorry. All you people have had such a tough life. No, I am. This does move me.
Me too.
Oh.
Most of them wrote that they continue to pursue their art despite everything, because it's who they are. They're actors, they're writers, they're singers. You know, once you get out of prison, you're still a singer.
But I guess that's the question, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for every successful and unsuccessful artist, there's a lifetime of all these heartbreaks. But why don't we stop? It's not to make money. It would be great to make
That's
money.
True.
But what is it that certain people want to create something?
That's
whether
true.
It's art or writing or acting or singing. What else is art? Sculpting.
Oh, we could do that. We could take that up. There's a lot of stuff in this house that could be sculpted.
I don't remember where it was. It's gone, long gone now. But when we were kids, not far from the school, do you remember there was a house that obviously somebody there was an artist, but they had all these terrible, like, tin things used with car parts and things into sculptures.
Yeah.
And like the whole yard was filled with these ugly sculptures.
Yeah.
That's somebody who, you know, I thought they were ugly, right? Apparently, I mean, but he couldn't stop. He did it for some reason.
That's a good point, Law. You don't, yeah. It's not like most, probably 99.9% of the people who create art of any kind are not financially, you know, successful at it. They're not making a living at it, right? But they're driven to do it.
Why do you love it, La? Why do you love it? What do you love about writing, La?
Well, I don't know what it is, La, but it just seems like when I'm writing and I'm on the scent of something and it's going along really well, or if I'm revising something and I'm really enjoying the revision process, I feel amazing, you know, lying there in my bed, my crappy old house, and I feel like $1 million. I just love it. And I know that I'm not going to, you know, reach a huge audience or anybody maybe, but the fact is just the act of doing it makes me feel in the moment, you know, incredible. I think it's the other stuff. It's the rejection, the, you know, the indifference, that kind of stuff that's hard to deal with. But the actual writing itself is pretty amazing. What about you?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's like the... Like, I'm looking at a flower, and the flower is so beautiful. And I could absorb it, but I kind of want to share the beauty of the flower with you and with other people. So I want to take a picture of it. I want to draw it. I want to share that beauty. And I don't know, with acting, what is it? It's like when you really nail it, you create a character, you mimic life in some way. And there's just that moment of concentration, whether it's in a movie or whether it's in a play, where everybody's concentrating on one thing, each in their own separate way, creating something together that only exists for, you know, the moment you're doing it. And luckily with film, if it's captured, you can share that moment, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I can't describe it. Why do I want to keep doing it? It's that...
But that's pretty good, Lyme. I mean, that's sort of the same thing. You know,
I guess.
Sort of who you are. It's in your heart. And I also remember when you were on, you had bit parts. What were they called? Walk-ons or something?
Day players.
Day players on sitcoms. You, on occasion, had lines that got big laughs, and you said it was like opium. It felt incredible.
Yeah, but it wasn't opium. It was, yes, it was, but it wasn't like, look at me, I nailed it. It was just that, it's like a vibration, hitting that right vibration.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that a lot of those day player things, they were just walk-ons, but since I was able to do it in some kind of funny way, they got featured. It's the only, you know.
It's
funny. Most people wouldn't hire me again, but... But when something like that would air and it was successful, I would get a lot of auditions and get the next one. So something worked.
Yeah,
I felt good when it worked.
I think we're starting to understand. So I guess it's time to wrap it up. Our condolences to our deceased guest. And I guess we understand why you couldn't be here.
Old death has come a-calling.
We're very understanding
the
that way.
The old Grim Reapers come to make a homage to you. Homage.
His homage.
Frottage. He's come to... The old Grim Reapers come to frottage you to frottage you into the next world. I'm sorry.
How do you get there?
Frottage, homage.
Homage.
It's the same
homage
thing.
To frottage.
Well, how the hell does death do it? He doesn't just wave a wand over you and you're dead. He's got to rub on you a little bit to take you to the next world.
Well, that sounds actually rather pleasurable.
Get off me! I'm sorry, I'm death and it's your time. Let me frottage you and it'll go a lot easier. If you want to fight me, we could do it the hard way or we could do it the easy way. And frottage is the easy way.
What?
law. Haven't you read your Bible?
No.
It's all in there.
Remember, we were Catholics. We weren't allowed to read the Bible.
Oh, that's true. Well, that's what the priest said to me.
Do you remember the God, lecture don't start
we
that.
Had on Fratage?
I think that was your fantasy law. I don't think that ever happened.
No, Father Bondi told me what to say mm-hmm. when you go into the, you know, when you have to confess these acts, you say that, forgive me, Father. He says, don't say rubbing, say, I committed unclean acts against myself. Remember?
We're obsessed with that,
and
yeah.
He would say 15 Hail Marys and you're fine.
Say 15 Hail Marys and look at a statue of Mary because... That'll turn you off.
But don't look up Mrs. Chipolinsky's dress because she won't have it. She'll tell your parents.
Oh.
Old stinky Mrs. Chipolinsky went to heaven by route of frittage.
Okay, La.
La, let's just keep talking forever. I don't want these times to ever end. Let's talk about art again. What's it mean? I want more.
Do you want to talk about the quote?
No, let's save it for our next show. Oh, that's right. You did go to all that trouble about digging up Oscar Wilde's quote.
There's a little irony there.
Excuse me. You want me to read it? You want to read it, La?
You read it, La.
In this world, there are only two tragedies. One is not getting what one wants. And the other is getting it. Oscar Wilde.
Now, after all that whining and complaining and whinging that we did, what if we had gotten what we wanted, and as it turned out, it was a terrible tragedy? How could it have been a terrible tragedy to make a living?
If we got what we wanted, if I was a successful actor and you were a successful writer?
Yeah, how's that possible? Right.
I don't know. I think the world would be pretty awesome.
I know, me too. Well, Oscar.
What did he know? Did he write that before or after prison? Well, actually, I don't want to laugh at Oscar Wilde because that is a tragedy. Because he got what he wanted. Because sharing his art meant sharing his heart, which was illegal. And he went to jail. So he got what he wanted and he paid for it, poor guy.
That's true. But, I mean, you know, we have to, of course, look at this quote on a more global level. How does it apply to what we've been talking about? You know, because if you look at celebrities, there's not a lot of happy ones out there, you know?
Well, the ones I looked up to were happy.
Like who? Soupy Sales?
I love the Schnozzola.
Jimmy Durante?
People loved him. He had a good personal life and great professional life.
All right. Well, that's one. Because I stand corrected, La.
Well, let's see. Kurt Cobain was happy.
Kirk was happy, wasn't he? Lucy and Desi were happy.
Oh, they had a great marriage.
He tried to run her over on the front lawn with his car.
Yeah, I don't know. It's complicated, I guess.
Well,
now I'm going to have to go read about Oscar Wilde a little bit more. Because that really, with what we talked about today, I never really thought about how courageous he really was to live openly and at that time, and he didn't have to, and how he certainly paid for it. And that was
well, he
all,
did, but there's something else going on there, right? I mean, if you are commercially successful and you're famous, especially if you're famous, it can lead you to all kinds of bad behaviors or maybe, behaviors that aren't, you know, when you're not careful about things, when you're careless, you're reckless about how you live your life because you think you're more important than you really are. You've got all this money and you've got fame. And I think that's part of what ruined him, right? Because he sued his boyfriend's father instead of just like going under the radar for the time being. And that's what led to him going to jail because he was so cocky.
Well, I don't know. I think like if you and I had unlimited money, would we, be dead by now because of overeating? Mm. Unlimited money to buy whatever we want. But the thing is, I like to think we'd probably be healthier rather than eating the crap we eat now that we can afford.
How much ramen noodles have you stuffed down your trap this month?
Yeah, but I mean, if you're living in, you know, I don't know, Bel Air or something like that, with pool boys all around your pool, and everybody.
Wait
tells,
a minute. Everybody there's tells a pool you boy. Everybody. There's a pool boy on the roof, and he's supposed to be down by the pool.
Jump into daddy's arms.
I guess, La. I don't
no,
know.
But I mean, you know, there and these celebrities are always surrounded by people who tell them what they want to hear, right?
Maybe it's different than that. Maybe what he's saying is one is not getting what one wants and the other is getting it. Because we were just talking about, right, the beauty of creating something. But so once you create it, then what? It's over. That moment is over.
I
so you keep that. Chasing another moment to create. You keep chasing more creation.
So actually, if you're commercially successful, then you are, it doesn't have anything to do with your art. It's just, it's a totally different ballpark, right?
I guess I would like to think it leads to more opportunities to create.
Oh, sure.
More. But I mean, maybe there's a lot of pressure. I mean, these are all things we're only going to have to guess at in case we're a great big hit in our, you know, right now, if we did get a lot of money, we'd probably start that wedding band. But we blow all the money by recreating the trolley from Schenectady to Saratoga.
Well,
come get married on the law trolley. We're going to make $1,000,000,000. We'll sing to you on the long. Yeah.
Sir, please, you can't both be on the same side of the trolley.
We'd never move right, La. We'd stay right here where it all began.
We would. We'd have this house totally renovated, so I would never have to leave.
I'd exhume Grandma and stuff her.
Well, I guess, you know, if we had a lot of money, we would, and fame, we would probably be more screwed up than we are now because we wouldn't know how to handle it. We're both terrible with money. And, you know, this people with absolutely no confidence like us suddenly being told all the time how great we are, that would be pretty screwed up, wouldn't it?
Our identity is being failures. Who would we be without our identity?
That's true.
If you take away failure from us, who would
we're
we be?
We're nothing.
La! This is no way to end the show.
I think it's the perfect way to end the show.
I was in a good mood. Oh, please write to us at Half Alive Podcast. What is it?
Half Alive Podcast@gmail.com and
tell us to keep going. Please.
Tell us to keep going. Subscribe, leave reviews, and write to us. Half Alive Podcast@gmail.com. Well, I guess that's it for episode 9, Law.
That's right. And remember, don't give up until we do, and we're close. So keep listening to give us a boost.
Oh my God, Law. I am so hungry right now. I can't tell you. I just want to eat everything.
All right, La, well, keep it together till we talk again. I love you, brother.
Love you, brother.